Amen. Acts chapter 12, starting at verse 12. Acts chapter 12. And it says that, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Somebody say they were praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness or excitement. She was excited that Peter was there. Instead of opening the gate, it says she ran and she told how Peter stood before the gate. She was basically, Peter's here. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Basically, you're crazy, Rhoda. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And then they said, it is only his angel. It's not Peter. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were shocked. What is Peter doing here? Why are you here? By the end of this message, I will give you understanding to this story if you don't already have the understanding of what took place in this moment. But I want to speak on this thought just for a few moments. And at the end of this message, I will be revealing to you the full commitment, the final commitment, and our trusting God for number as a church. But I want to just to help us to maybe just affirm our faith today and what God is going to do over the next 36 months in this church. We are going to do our part, but God is going to go above and beyond and do what only God can do in this church. So I want to speak on this thought just for a few moments. Standing at the door of expectation. Standing at the door of expectation. My second title would simply be this: expect the unexpected. We need to expect the unexpected. Amen. You may be seated. The one thing about these new beautiful lights is I already sweat bad enough. It does make it a little warmer up here, but that's all right. I will keep my suntan throughout the winter. Hallelujah. So the world will tell you that when you have expectations, or that when you place your faith in God, that you are setting yourself up for disappointment. It's what the world will tell you. I say, be careful in this life not to lower your expectations of God to meet the lack of faith of those around you. I'll say it one more time. Be careful not in this life not to lower your expectations of God to meet the lack of faith of those around you. That if someone tells you, I don't think God's going to do it. Well, that's all right. They can believe what they want to believe. But don't let it change your expectations of God if God has spoken something to you. If he's spoken something to you, I'm going to ask you to hold on tight to whatever it is that God has spoken to you. You need to keep the faith for it. And you need to live with great expectation that it will come to pass someday. Every morning when I wake up, I like to walk to our bedroom window that is facing eastward. And I like to look out that window and look at the beautiful view. And I have to ask myself, I look into the eastern sky and ask myself, could this be the day? Could this be the day? Anyone ever do that? You just kind of look and just wonder, could this be the day that he comes? Could this be the day? Then you have to ask yourself, Lord, you've just kind of checked yourself. Lord, am I ready? I want to make sure I'm ready. Lord, if this is the day, I want to make sure that I'm ready and live in an expectation of your return. You see that those who live with expectation, they live a different life than those who don't. If you know that you have a guest coming to your house, that you don't wait until that they start getting there, that you don't wait until they pull in the driveway to say, oh, we probably should pick things up and prepare everything for them. I hope you don't do that. But when someone calls you and tells you, hey, I'm going to be coming, or if you know you got guests coming over, that one of the first things that you do is you want to make sure that they have clean sheets and blankets if they're going to be staying the night, and you want to make sure the bathroom is clean and it has clean towels and washcloths and soap, and most importantly, toilet paper for your guest. You start preparing because simply you have expectation that someone is coming because they told you that they were coming to your house. So therefore, in expectation, you begin to prepare yourself for their arrival. You don't wait until they arrive to try to scurry around and throw things together. That's not going to work because the time has run out. They're already there. You've got to prepare yourself with expectation that when they walk in, that your guest feels comfortable and at home because everything has been prepared for them and they feel like, wow, they cared enough to take care of me when I arrive. You see, there's a reason that I look out that window and I wonder, could today be the day? Why would you wonder that, Pastor? Well, I have to go to Scripture, Matthew 24:27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I know the Bible tells us in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise, and that we that are alive and remain, we shall be called up to meet him in the air. That's my expectation. I don't live day to day thinking, I don't think it's going to happen today, but I live every day wondering, could today be the day? Hey, he's coming back for his church. Is today the day that he's coming back for his children? Is today the day I'm looking to the eastern sky, waiting for it to split open someday for the Lord to come back and take us home? I have expectation for that. You see, and this is why our mission statement that we have is very simple. It is love God, love people. Watch for Jesus. While we're waiting, we love God, we love people, we make disciples, but the whole time with expectation, we are watching for Jesus. You say, why am I trying to win souls? Because I know he's coming and I've got to spread the gospel. Expectation. It's my expectation that we make his return. He takes us. It's my expectation that makes me watch for that return, because I see in John 14, it says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled in the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of everything going on. It says, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Out of expectation of his coming, he prepared a place for us. Yeah. And it says at verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm here to tell somebody today, he's coming back someday. He's coming back someday for his church, and we must prepare ourselves for that day with great expectation, because he cared enough to say, I have gone and prepared a place for you. Don't you prepare yourself for the place I have for you waiting. Great expectation. I can say today with confidence that every time I've placed my expectation and my faith in God, he has never failed to show up and do a work for me. It might not look the way that I thought it would look, or it might not answer the prayer the way I asked or expected him to answer the prayer, but God always works it out every time. I want to go back to the story in Acts 12, the story of Peter. And we look here, starting at verse 1, jumping back to the beginning of the chapter. And it says in verse 1, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. And then he killed James, the brother of John, with sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison, and he delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him. They must have thought Peter was some kind of threat or something. They put Peter in control. They put Peter in the control of four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. They had a plan. Herod had a plan of what he was going to do. He said, I just took out James, and the people reacted and they loved it. So because it puffed him up, because look what I just did. He said, then I will also take Peter. So he says, seize Peter and take Peter and throw him in jail. So they take him, they put Peter in prison. Peter, verse 5, was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So remember in the first part of the story we talked about that they were praying. It says that they went and they were praying. They were praying for Peter. So the church began to pray for Peter, for his safety, for his release. And when Herod was about to bring him out, he said, it's about the time to bring him out. And it was going to do the same thing to Peter that they had done to James. And it says, that night, Peter was sleeping. He was bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. And a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side, and he raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And then the angel said to him, gird yourself up and tie up your sandals. So he said, basically, get yourself together. You're not staying here. Get yourself ready. Come on, we're going somewhere. Get yourself together. And he said, put on the garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. He didn't think that he was really being released from the prison. And when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. When they walked up to the gate, nobody had to touch it. God opened it for them, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Could you imagine? So you're taken out of prison. You know you shouldn't be free right now. And he takes you down the street, and you're just following that angel. Come on, let's go. Where are you taking me, angel? And next thing you know, you look over, and the angel's gone. You're by yourself in the middle of the street, and you're supposed to be in prison. Well, this isn't good. This is where Peter found himself. And it says, and when Peter had come to himself, and he realized, oh, this isn't a vision. This is real. He said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me, catch this, from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. They were expecting death. They were expecting torture. They were expecting to cheer again because another one was being taken out. Herod had expectation. The people had expectation. But God had a different expectation. And he said something else is going to take place. Something else is going to happen in this situation that you don't see coming yet. You see, Herod's expectation, the people's expectation for Peter was simply death. But God's expectation will always trump the expectation of those who are against you.
Yeah. Amen.
Every time.
Every time.
It is when we as a church or you as individuals step out in faith that there will be voices of those who don't have faith in God. And they're going to say to you that this is never going to happen. God can't work that kind of miracle. God won't provide that financial miracle for you for this new building to be built. God's not going to send great revival. It's souls and harvest. I know what Herod was expecting. I know what the people were expecting. But just as Peter did, we must understand, as the children of God, we are not bound to the expectations of the world. We are not of the world. We are not bound by their thoughts, by their expectations. We are not bound by their labels. We are not bound by that, because we are children of God. My expectation is not based on science. I don't have to see it to believe it, because we live by faith and not by sight. And that's why I can stand here today and say that over the next 36 months in this church, I'm expecting the unexpected to take place. I'm expecting the things that we cannot explain to take place. I'm expecting miracles that people are going to say, how did that happen? I can't explain to you how that happened. We've already had it once when we purchased the property, when the banker said, you'll be back in July to pay it off. And I said, yes, sir. He said, oh, okay. We'll see. We'll see. He said, what year? I said, next year. We'll be back and pay it off. He said, oh, okay. And when we walked back in at the end of July with that check, and we said, here, paid in full. He didn't expect that to happen. But God said, my expectations for my church will always succeed and trump the expectations of the world. They will not be able to understand it or wrap their minds around it, but I am God, and I will let it be known that this is my church. This is his church. It's his church. You say, well, how can you have so much faith, Pastor? Because the word of God tells me in Isaiah 55 and 11, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. This is his church. This is his church. It's not our church. This is not ours. This doesn't belong to us. Nothing belongs to us. It's his church. And if God sees fit to perform a miracle, no one's going to stop it. It's his church. He has spoken, and I believe the promise shall come to pass. Amen. Now, I can't stand here this morning and tell you how God's going to do it. I can't write that out, because I don't know how he's going to do it. But I'm trusting that if he said it, he's going to do it. Amen. You see, as Christians, we are called to live in expectation. Yes, sir. We're supposed to. First, because we live by faith and not by sight. It is by faith that we expect to achieve certain things promised to us by God. Secondly, we live in expectation because we don't doubt his promises to us. We believe it. When he says it, I believe it. You see, the moment that our expectations, this is how we partner with God. The moment that our expectations matches God's abilities, our church will see miracles, signs, and wonders that we preach about. Yeah. It's easy to get up here and say, oh, I believe God is going to send a revival over to the Philippines, and they're going to have a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. They're going to have a crusade, and they're going to have 1,000 receive the Holy Ghost, and we preach it, and we're excited over here in Athens to preach about it. Because we're not there. We're just going to praise God with whatever he does over there. But when we stand up here and we make statements, and I make statements, prayerful statements, where I say, I truly do believe because I prayed about it and I asked God. And that number, when he first gave it to me, I said, Lord, we've never done that before. God, we've never done there. We've never gone there before, God. We've never hit anything that big before, God. God, I don't know. I don't know. And I called Brother Mitchell and I said, Brother Mitchell, I said, here's what God's telling me. He said, then what you have to do is you have to affirm it by speaking it to the church. And that's why I got up and I said, I believe that next week will be the largest offering we've ever collected. It's the largest offering we've ever given to the kingdom. And I believe that we will hit a $50,000 mark. I don't just say that. I don't just pull that out of a hat somewhere. But I truly say that with expectation, because God says, I will make a way. I will make a way. We have to take our expectation and match it to God's abilities. You say, well, that's going to be great. I can't wait to hear some of these things that God is going to do. Well, I want to tell you this morning that it's already happening. You might not know this if you're not on Facebook, you might not know it. But last week, Sister Terry Steele walked up here and she was in horrible pain. She said, she came to me afterwards. She said, Pastor, my back was hurting so bad. She said, I thought I was having a heart attack in the middle of church. And she said, you took us into prayer. And she said that Sister Lynn Chapman walked over to me and she said, she didn't know, but she laid her hand on my back right on that spot. She said, it instantly, I felt it leave my body. I felt the pain leave my body. She said, God healed me right in the middle of the service. Come on, God's doing it already. God's doing it already. Expectation, his ability, we put it together. It's that simple. It's that simple. Somebody in our church texted me this week and they said, Pastor, they said there's a bonus coming that we were not expecting, that we hadn't received in a long time, but they just reached out and told us that there's a bonus coming from work this year that we haven't had in a while. They said, I'm praising God for already working miracles. Brother McDonald and I already asked him if I could share this. We were talking probably over a month ago now, and right back where they're sitting, we were talking. And we were talking about this campaign and giving to the campaign and trusting God and what God's going to do. And he was sharing with me. He said, I really need a work truck. He didn't have a work truck, and he was doing all kinds of work with his van. He was using a van, trying to put all of his construction stuff inside of a van. And he was kind of getting limited with the space. And he said, I really need a work truck. And the Lord had spoken a number to them to give to the campaign. And they were asking me about it. And Sister Lisa spoke up and she said, but I believe, right there, remember you saying this. You said, I believe that if we will simply submit to God, that I believe, this is expectation. She's saying, God, you got the ability. I've got the expectation. Let's throw it together and see what happens. She said, I believe if we are simply submitted and obedient to what God says, that God is going to give him a truck. Will you come tell us, Brother McDonald, with tears in his eyes? He just wait. Go ahead and tell us what happened.
There was an unfortunate event last week. My wife's grandfather passed, and through all the funeral arrangements and everything, he has a truck that was gifted to us.
Through a horrible situation. Through a horrible situation, definitely unexpected situation. They did not see that coming. They did not know what was going to happen. But someone came to them and said, listen, we want you to have his truck. They didn't realize the prayers they've been praying. But God said, I will take a bad situation. I will comfort you and give you peace. I will love on you. But in the midst of this, I will also bless you in the midst of this. You see, we got to have faith for it. You got to expect it. Faith says, even though my neighbor doesn't expect it to take place, I'm expecting it anyways. Because my faith rests in God that has already proven himself to me over and over again. I'm expecting the unexpected. So this season that we're stepping into as a church is going to require faith like never before. That you got to have faith for yourself to get that miracle that God has for you and for your family. Somebody shout, I have to have faith. Understand that you cannot expect your miracle to come or expect your promise to arrive by riding on someone else's faith. You've got to believe it for yourself. As I said, it's easy to believe for somebody else's miracle. But for some reason, we struggle with believing that God's ever going to do it for me. We got to remove that mindset. The mindset, yo, now are we worthy? No, we're not worthy of anything. We're not worthy of anything. But we got to remove that mindset that God's not going to do it for me. Listen, if you are obedient to his word, if you're obedient to his commandments, if you are giving into his kingdom, time, talent, treasure, and you're following his word and you're striving to live a holy life, you're trying to be holy like God has asked us to be holy, you're trying to do everything pleasing unto him, you got to remove that mindset that he'll do it for somebody else, but he won't do it for me. Understand that you are a child of God, and he says, if I do it for them, I'll do it for you. If I'll do it for the church down the road, I'll do it for you. I will do it. You just got to believe and have expectation. At some point, we have to get off of other people's faith and saddle up our own faith and ride it into the promise that God has waiting for you. It has to happen. Now let's jump back to Acts 12. This is our opening text. We'll bring some clarity to this. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Remember, we read earlier, they were praying. The church began to pray when Peter was put in prison. They're praying for Peter. They're praying for God to do something for Peter, to deliver Peter, to keep that in their mind. They were praying, that they were saying, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to take place, but Peter was taken away to prison. So we have to go to a place and pray on behalf of Peter. And it says that while they were praying, Peter knocked at the door of the gate. So they're praying, having a prayer meeting, and there's a knock at the door. Here's Peter, who's been released from prison. The angel left him. He's standing at the door, out for everybody to see. He's escaped prison, and he's knocking at the door, probably thinking, could you please let me in quickly? I really need to get in. And he's knocking. And it says that a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she knew it. Because of her gladness and her excitement, she failed to open the gate. She was so excited that she heard him that she said, oh my goodness, it's Peter. And she ran. Poor Peter. Please, somebody let me in. I just want to come in. So he's knocking and she runs and she announces to them, she says, Peter, he's here. He's knocking at the door. But they said to her, Rhoda, you done lost your mind, girl. Peter's in prison. You're crazy. What are you talking about, Rhoda? Go over in the corner and go pray. Go on. Leave us alone. We're busy praying. Don't bother us while we're praying for Peter. Well, Rhoda, sounds like she doesn't give up very easy. So she keeps insisting that it was so. And they said to her, it's probably just his angel. Peter's dead. It's nothing. Rhoda, just leave us alone. There wasn't a whole lot of great faith being exercised that day. A whole lot of prayer, not a whole lot of faith. It says, now Peter continued knocking. I'm guessing it probably got a little louder, like somebody seriously let me in. Come on. It says, now he kept knocking. And when they opened the door, finally, It says they saw him and they were astonished. Peter, Rhoda's not crazy. It was you. Yes. They were praying. They had the prayer part down. They had the prayer part down. But they lacked in the expectation of the prayer actually being answered. Their expectations did not meet their prayers. If their expectations would have matched their prayers, they all would have been standing at the front door waiting the knock before it ever happened. If they were praying for Peter to be released from prison and to be set free and brought to them, then don't you think that they would have been standing at the door, maybe with their hand on the handle, even maybe peeking out to say, is he coming yet? Is he coming yet? Is he coming? Oh, with great expectation. Is he coming? Well, what are you looking at the door for? Well, because we've been praying for it. Shouldn't I go stand at the door and look for him if I'm praying for Peter to come? Wouldn't that make sense? If I have, if not, then why are we even praying? It is with great expectation. It is with great expectation that when you hit your knees and you begin to ask God for things and God begins to work miracles that we're not astonished and taken back. Oh my God, he actually did it. But no, with great expectation, when I pray it, I say it might not happen today, it might not happen tomorrow, but God, I'm asking that over the next 36 months that you open up the windows of heaven, God, and you perform miracles. Then sometime between now and then, I'm going to be standing at the door every day saying, is it coming yet? Is it coming yet? Is it coming yet? Is a knock happening? I'm standing at the door waiting for a knock because I know he said, I will. He'll supply your every need. This is his church. And if it's his church, I know there's a knock coming at the door. There's miracles coming. It's going to happen. We're entering into a time as a church where our faith and expectation is going to supersede our logic and our emotions. I promise you, you will think yourself out of a miracle. You will. You'll let your emotions get involved into it, and you'll work yourself right out of a miracle. But it is time that we must expect what others would call crazy. They said, Rhoda, you're nuts. No, Rhoda, you're crazy. Peter ain't out there. Peter's in prison. Someone's going to look at you and say, you're nuts. You're crazy. There's no way God can do that. But you're going to be too busy over here at the door to even listen to what they're saying. Go ahead, keep talking. Go ahead, keep talking, because when it comes, I'm going to open the door wide and I'm going to let you see what God's done for me. I'm going to have a testimony. God's going to do it. It's time to be a Rhoda. Look at your neighbor and say, be a Rhoda. It's time to get excited when what you've been praying for is actually standing at the door, knocking and saying, let me in, let me in, let me in. You see, this is God's church. This is God's church. And when we step out in faith with expectation that God will do his part, miracles will continue to happen. They'll happen. Expectation and God work really well together. Really well. Really well. You see, I can look at Elijah the prophet, Baal. He's challenging 400 plus men. And he says, listen, you go ahead and you try to make a sacrifice unto Baal and see what happens. Nothing takes place. Nothing happens. They try, they cut themselves, they try to do everything they can, and Baal never shows up. Nothing ever happens. But Elijah restores the altar, and he does his part, and he stacks everything up. And then he said, listen, I'm going to show God off a little bit to what he can do. He said, because if you think this is crazy already, go ahead and pour water on everything. Soak everything, soak the wood, soak the stones, soak everything. He said, and then watch, we'll see what God's gonna do. And then he went and he prayed. We must pray. Faith and prayer together do wonders. Faith and prayer. Relationship with God. He goes and prays, and fire falls from heaven. And it even consumes the stones. There was nothing left. With expectation, he put the altar together, knowing, God, I'll do my part, but I can't make the fire fall. You're going to have to do that. And God performed the miracle. You got three Hebrew boys that refused to move. And they said, if you need to throw us in the fire, throw us in the fire. Go ahead and do what you need to do. But we're not going to bail. We're not going to bow to your God. We're not going to bow down because we have expectation that our God's going to show up. And when the king walks over and says, did we not throw in three? Then who's the fourth man in the fire? Expectation. You see, Peter, talking about Peter again. Peter did this thing. They were out in the boat, and the storm comes, and they get a little nervous. They're a little scared, and something happens. They begin to pray. Prayer again. They begin to pray. God, we need your help. Oh, we need your help. Oh, if Jesus was here, we need your help. He could do it if he was here, and they begin to pray for help. But when Jesus arrived, he comes walking on the water towards them, and they look out and they say, oh, it's a ghost. Were you not just praying for help? And he shows up and you say, it's a ghost. Man, this sounds really familiar to another story. That's not Peter knocking. You're crazy, Rhoda. But when they realize that it wasn't a ghost, and they realize it's Jesus walking on the water, you know what happens? Peter says, I don't want to stay here, but I want to go to places I've never been before. Lord, you've already shown me who you are and what you can do. So if you can do it, call me to you. Let me come and walk to you. So he calls him out, and he steps out of the boat and begins to walk toward him. And he's walking. He's walking, looking at him. And he's coming to Jesus, and Peter's walking on water. And he keeps looking at him. And he's watching his eyes, but when he takes his eyes off of him and looks at the waves around him, it says he begins to sink. He begins to fall into the water. You see, there's something called blind expectation. Blind expectation is kind of a foolish thing. You say, well, explain this. Okay, blind expectation. Blind expectation is, you say, okay, or even blind faith or expectation, is when you don't even have your eyes set on Jesus, but you think you're going to go walk on water. You have no relationship with him. You don't pray. You don't fast. You don't listen to his commandments. You just come every once in a while to church, and you think, well, because I'm here, I can walk on water. That is blind expectation, because your eyes are not even set on the one you're trying to walk to. But when you're looking in the eyes of Jesus, and when you keep your eyes fixed on him, and you say, I know the one who is currently walking on water can take me and do things with me that I never thought I could ever do. I promise you, you can begin to expect the unexpected, because you are connected to him. You are connected to the one who can do all things in you. Your flesh is the only thing that will cause you to sink. I want us in this church, I'm coming to a close, to wake up every morning over the next 36 months and beyond. The miracles don't stop at the end of this. We're going to be a different church at the end of this. We are. That's why I tell you, this is more than a building. This is more than money. This is more than giving. Those things need to happen. Those are tools for us to do what? Reach souls. But this is about getting us to the place where we wake up every single morning and we say, oh, what's God going to do today? God, what are you going to do today, God? What miracle are you going to bring today? God, who are you going to bless in the church today? God, what miracle are you going to... God, who are you going to heal this Sunday? Who's going to receive the Holy Ghost this Sunday? Who's going to get baptized this Sunday? God, who's going to get a vehicle? God, who's going to do... What doors are going to open this week? Whose body is going to be healed? God, who's going to have cancer removed from their body? God, who's going to do it? God, what are you going to do this week? What are you going to do today? Great expectation. God, what soul are you going to send in my path today that I can reach out and talk to somebody about how good you are? That's the expectation. That's what we're doing. What miracle, God, is he going to perform today, even in this service? You see, this service isn't over. This day's not over. You could leave this place today. You could go into a restaurant and sit down, and before you know it, the person that's waiting on you is coming to church with you next week, and their life is turned upside down. God will do it if you take your expectation and match it with his ability. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Why? Because I'm expecting a knock at the door. We're not going to be a church that goes and prays, come on a Wednesday night and we pray together and we're praying empty prayers, not really believing that he's actually going to do it. I'm not filling out that card saying, yeah, hope you do it. I'm filling out that card after prayerfully considering what God wants me to write down. That's why, you understand, there's a reason that we had a prayer revival leading up to signing those cards. We were preparing our hearts for God to speak to us and for God to say, this is what I want you to commit. This is what I want you to sign. This is what I want you to write down with expectation that I have the ability to help it happen. Amen. That's it. Musicians, come. Get ready. God's going to do it. I say that with great expectation today, that I stand at the door. We're getting ready. Next week, we're kind of, that door is going to be put up. That door is going to be there. And we're going to be standing at that door next week. So this is it. This is officially kicking everything off. For the next 36 months, it all starts next week. God, here it is. Here we are. Here we are. God, we're not going to go tuck ourselves in the corner somewhere with our eyes covered, not looking at you, saying, oh, Lord, I hope at the end of 36 months something actually happens. But no, why I'm preaching this today is because I want to position our church to stand at the door of expectation. Yeah. With our hand on the handle, saying that every day, God, for the next 36 months, I'm going to open that door and I'm going to look through expecting you to come and do something. God, between now and the next 36 months, every Sunday morning when we come in here, God, we're coming in here with the expectation that somebody is going to have their life changed. We're going to come with the expectation, God, that you're going to open a door for us to reach new families. And those new families are going to come in. They're going to sit on these chairs that we invested into. You remember that? Remember we invested in the chairs? We invested in the chairs so new members and your family members could come sit and take up these chairs and have their lives changed. That's why we're doing this whole thing. It's about lives and souls being changed. That's it. That's the purpose. We're positioning ourselves at the door of expectation, saying, God, I don't know how, They were praying, Peter needs to be released. I don't know how you're going to do it, but he needs it. They didn't say, here's how I want you to do it. They said, God, Peter needs to be released, whether they had faith or not. They prayed the prayer and he heard them. They were lacking in the expectation, that's for sure. It doesn't say it, but I'm wondering if Peter wasn't laying there himself saying, God, you've got more for me. My time's not done yet, Lord. I still want to preach the gospel. If you'll make a way where there seems to be no way, if you get me out of here, and the Lord sees fit to send an angel. I want when the Lord sends an angel to this campaign and releases miracles. And when those miracles start knocking at the door, that before it ever gets to the second knock, that the door's open and said, come on in. We've been expecting you. Come on in, new souls. Come on in, neighbor. Come on in, prodigals. Come on in. We've been standing with expectation, waiting on you to come. Come receive what God has for you with great expectation as we all stand all over this place this morning. I want us today to rejoice. I want us to celebrate of what God has done. What God is doing. I know you've been waiting for a whole week to see what this church, I want you to look around. Well, let's rebuke that demon. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to look around the room right now. Look at the people around you. You understand this, you are LifePoint Pentecostals of Athens. When someone says LifePoint Pentecostals of Athens, you know they're talking about you. They're talking about us as a body. That's who they're talking about. So today, I want you to understand, and I want you to see, and I want you to rejoice, and I want you to celebrate with your brothers and sisters in the church over what you have committed over the next 36 months to make the promise come to life. To make the promise saying, God, I'm expecting. Here's my expectation. There's your ability. Let's put them together and let's see what you're going to do. So over the next 36 months, you as a church have committed $808,752 to the Promise campaign. Now listen, that's exciting. But let me share another number with you. We talk about expectations and faith, right? Let me share with you the trusting God for number. That's the commitment number. Let me share with you the trusting God number. The trusting God number is $1,269,030. For a combined total. For a combined total of $2,077,782 that we're committing and trusting God for. I think we can rejoice. Come on. I think we can rejoice. I think we can rejoice this morning. And we're going to trust God. We're going to trust God to do what only God can do. Come on, won't you get out of your pew, get out of your seat, and begin to rejoice, begin to worship God. Come on, with expectation.